It is time for the State Capitol Report. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Monday, February the 27th. Our state government reporter, Sean Johnson, is here, and he's been covering that that trial over redistricting in federal court. We'll get the latest on that lawsuit challenging Wisconsin's new Republican-drawn redistricting maps. And we will welcome your thoughts and questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Sean spent much of his time last week on this trial, but he also covered a few other issues before the state legislature, and we will also welcome your questions on other issues going on. Maybe we can get an update on where they're headed. Let me welcome in Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Joy.
So, yeah, you tell us what is this lawsuit all about?
It is about the redistricting map that Republicans drew last year that was signed by the governor, that essentially decides who you're going to be able to vote for in Wisconsin for the next decade at the congressional level, at the state Senate level, and at the state assembly level. And so it's a tremendously political document with huge political consequences. And normally this is, in the last couple cycles, has been something that a court has drawn for the state because we've had split government and Democrats and Republicans, unsurprisingly, have not been able to agree on a map that would suit them both. And so a court steps in and draws one. This map was in court last week, but it's a much different situation because this is one that was drawn by the legislature, approved by the legislature, and signed by the governor. And so essentially Democrats are trying to, attack it any way they can.
So who's challenging this suit in court?
You've got a group of Democratic plaintiffs who, live around the state, and that's one of the groups. You've also got the group Voces de la Frontera, which represents Latinos predominantly in Milwaukee. And they're bringing a couple different claims. They were bringing a few different claims, but they really got narrowed down to a couple last week. One is Voces de la Frontera is challenging this map on grounds that it violates the Voting Rights Act, and that it denies them the right to, choose their candidate of choice. And then the Democratic plaintiffs are challenging it based on the fact that it disenfranchises 300,000 voters, in essence makes them wait 6 years instead of four to elect a state senator, just by the way that they draw the lines, switch people from even number districts to odd number districts.
Uh-huh. Now, following your reports last week, it was really interesting. Is this lawsuit is where the judges told the Republicans to go back and redraw the maps?
This lawsuit has been, interesting along the way at a number of points, especially for a topic that can be, frankly, kind of dry. But, this is the case where judges have had issued written orders, really scolding attorneys for the state and for Republican legislators for withholding information. And it's calling it an all but shameful attempt to hide information from the public. So you know the judges are going into the trial with, at least having that had that in the back of their mind at some point. So you enter trial with that in mind. And then last week, something, very unusual happened in that Tuesday oral arguments were set to begin. You're going to have a 4-day trial, everybody thought. And the judges said, look, why don't you go back and talk to the legislature and see if they maybe want to redraw this map? There are some constitutional issues raised in this map, and it's best if the legislature deals with those. Didn't order them to redraw the map. Didn't say that this map is unconstitutional. But that's that's very unusual for judges to come out and say that. Delay trial, and this is essentially the judges in a way offering the legislature a deal, saying, okay, maybe you want to just here's a last chance. You might want to look at this. Legislature said, we can't do that. That a state a state Supreme Court decision prevents us from doing that. Judges came back the next day and said, no, it doesn't. And we're going to give you until this afternoon. You can, in fact, revisit this decision. Go back, talk to the legislature, see if maybe you want to redraw this map. Legislature again declines. And so that's where, that brought us to the trial. So you had two offers from judges to essentially have a do-over on these maps. The legislature said no. And, you know, whether that means anything on what the judges will eventually rule, Democrats feel good about it. Republicans say, no, well, all the judges are saying is that this is the province of the legislature. And so that's a good thing for us.
Interesting. But again, the legislature wasn't saying, or the Republicans in the legislature weren't saying, no, we won't redraw these maps because we don't feel like it. They were pointing to a Supreme Court decision that they said prevented them from doing it.
The first time they were doing that, the first time they said, we can't do this. We're sort of interested in doing this, that there is interest in doing this, but we can't do this because the state Supreme Court decision prevents us from doing this. And then the judges said, no, you, that's okay. You can do it. This decision doesn't tie your hands. And then the legislature came back a second time and declined the offer without any explanation at that point.
Yeah. So where does everything stand now?
Well, I mean, it's a complex case, but it does boil down to some pretty key, understandable arguments. And it's, being that this is federal court, broadcast reporters are unable to record what's going on in the courtroom. But I can tell you, after the hearing was all over, attorneys spoke with the media outside very briefly. Daniel Kelly is the attorney one of the private attorneys retained by the Department of Justice through funds authorized by DOJ and Governor Walker. And Daniel Kelly said that essentially that they have a strong case because redistricting is the province of the state legislature.
One of the reasons that it's important to have the legislature draw the map is because it is political. And it's important that political acts be done by the branch of government that is most responsive to the people of the state of Wisconsin. So the legislature adopted this map. It was a good map. It's a solid map. It's constitutional. It reflects the judgment of the people of the state of Wisconsin. So that's where the decisions belong. And we're confident that the court's going to look at this very carefully and that they'll come to the conclusion that these decisions are properly made in the legislature.
So, obviously not everybody in the state of Wisconsin is going to agree with decisions of this map, but Kelly's argument is, what better way to measure the will of the people than by, who they send to the state house to represent them?
So the maps reflect the will of the people because people elected Republicans to be in control.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's the argument of the Department of Justice. And they say that because it's such an inherently political process, you can't toss a map out because it's politically gerrymandered just because of that purpose, that you have to have reasons beyond that. And this was something that was addressed by attorney Peter Earl after the hearing. And Peter Earl is the lawyer for Voces de la Frontera.
Yes, it's a political act engaged in by politicians that must be engaged in according to the Constitution of the United States and the Voting Rights Act of the United States. They are subordinate to that law, and this process is designed to enforce that.
Why do you feel perhaps it was not constitutional?
Well, it was not constitutional in the sense that it violated the Voting Rights Act, which is imposed upon the state of Wisconsin by the Supremacy Clause of the Constitution of the United States. Act 43 deprived the Latino community of an effective voting majority, set the community back a decade in terms of its political aspirations, and it did so callously and through a secret process that was, as my client said, was rotten to its core.
So you hear the emphasis on Voting Rights Act there, and that's because, as we just alluded to, you really can't get a map tossed out just because it's blatantly political. And there are many areas in this map where you can look at it and see what Republicans were doing when they had control of the map in terms of giving them an electoral edge for the next decade in the state legislature. But that's not enough. And so, this lawsuit was keyed in, and much of the testimony during this trial was keyed in on two assembly districts in the city of Milwaukee. the 8th and the 9th. And right now there's one Latino majority assembly district in Milwaukee under the map that was drawn in 2002 that we've been operating under for the past decade. And that's the 8th. And they've had a Latino representative for the last decade. And the 8th has grown in its percentage of Latino population, voting age population. It's been a decade of strong growth for the Latino population as a whole in Milwaukee. And so what Latino groups are saying is that this map should not set us back. And in fact, it does, that this 8th has actually a smaller percentage of voting age population, Latino voters, than it did before we got started here. Republicans counter that, yes, it does, but that's because we split it up into two assembly districts. And while the numbers there are smaller, you have potential to elect two Latino representatives to the state assembly over the next decade.
So we have, that's where it stands. The closing arguments were on Friday night. You were there until, what, 9 o'clock or so?
They went from 8:30 in the morning until 9:30 at night.
Wow.
On Friday. I mean, the judges really, at some point, really got tough with the attorneys and started cracking down on how long they could speak, and told them, you need to narrow down your case here. And so that's why, you know, a case that was talking about a lot of other issues really got focused on, you know, this Voting Rights Act issue in Milwaukee, and also the 300,000 voters that Democrats say are disenfranchised under this map.
And we'll have to wait now a couple, 3 weeks for some sort of ruling?
Yeah, as far as we know, it's a 2 to 3 week. The judges were pretty vague. The clerk for, the judge from Milwaukee, it's a three-judge panel, the clerk said it'd probably be 2 to 3 weeks before he saw a written decision. But I think that it seems like the timeline is fluid. They want to issue a decision relatively quickly because in April, candidates are scheduled to start circulating nomination papers for, you know, this year's elections.
Mm-hmm.
They need to know what districts they're running in.
Well, what do you think about this redistricting challenge? We are talking with Sean Johnson. He is Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, talking about this court challenge to redistricting. Is this an issue that matters to you? What questions do you have? Or is there something else brewing at the state capitol that you have a question about? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let's take a check of the weather for today. Partly to mostly cloudy statewide. Maybe some scattered light snow, especially along Lake Superior. Highs today, mid-20s in the north to the mid-30s in the south. But looks like there is some snow on the way, maybe some big snow on the way for western and northern Wisconsin. A winter storm watch has been posted for tomorrow afternoon through Wednesday afternoon. So 5 to 8 inches of snow expected south of a line from Kewaunee to Wisconsin Rapids, while 9 to 15 inches of snow, that's right, 9 to 15 inches of snow expected north of this line by Wednesday night. Looks like southern Wisconsin will, for the most part during that period, see a mix of snow, sleet, and rain before becoming all rain on Wednesday. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 7:30, our state capitol report continues with a look at Illinois and Wisconsin. A lot of people in the political world, including Governor Walker, are comparing Wisconsin to Illinois. And we will take a look at what the two are like, comparing and contrasting them when it comes to budgets and job outlooks. That's after 7:30. Right now, we are talking with Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter, about the latest happenings at the state capitol. Sean spent much of last week covering this court challenge to redistricting, and we're welcoming your questions about that. But if you have another question about another state issue, that's welcome to 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And Sean, we do have some callers on this redistricting challenge, and Mary in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Mary.
Hello there.
Yes, your question?
Well, it's more of a statement. I want to say that I'm an independent voter, and I always have been. But over the past year, I've seen some things that, to me, just always border on shadiness or not being up front with the Republicans. And even with the redistricting, if it comes out that everything is legal, what they've done, they still haven't done it in the best interest of all. They still haven't done it up front, you know, with the hidden emails and everything. And I just don't see our government this way. That's why I will not vote Republican in whatever election comes up. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary. Sean, can you kind of give us an idea of this process and the secrecy involved in this process and whether it was a whole lot different this time around than in the past?
You know, I would say, in a way, a state capitol reporter is in some ways the worst judge of whether a process is ugly or not, because you're subjected to mangling the process for so long that you kind of get used to it, sadly. And so when you see this case go to a federal judge and a three-judge panel, two of the judges were appointed by Republican presidents, and they're just extremely harsh on the process that was used here.
They said it was shameful.
It's all but shameful.
Yeah.
And that was just one of a few memos, not memos, a few orders that they issued, where they were extremely hard on Republicans. And then in court also, some of their comments were very hard on the process that Republicans used here. And you know, just to run through that briefly, I mean, before Republican legislators were able to look at the maps, they signed signed secrecy agreements, attorney-client privilege agreements, said you can't talk about this map in the public, basically. So it went beyond just saying let's keep quiet about this for strategic reasons, and it's in writing there, an agreement with an attorney that you'll keep quiet about this. All the work was done over at a private law firm, and you know, the documents were attempted to be kept from the public under this shield of attorney-client privilege. They had a consultant working over there who's not a lawyer, but because he was working for this law firm, they were attempting to shield his communications with the legislature under attorney-client privilege. And so just really just trying to pull a shield over every aspect of the process, and the judges just let them have it over that. Whether or not that has any bearing on the ruling, we don't know, because, I mean, it really wasn't, the process was not the focus of the oral arguments. It more boiled down to where the lines are drawn, who's, and which groups of people and which communities are sliced up by this map.
Let's take another call from Tom in Burlington. Hello, Tom.
Morning, Joy. Thanks for having me on the show. I like the new maps. I think that down in the Burlington area, they really are better. The old maps gave a lot of control to the cities of Racine and Kenosha that were west of I-94 and really drowned out the voices of the smaller communities and rural communities that were west of the I. And the new redistricting gives the people in communities like Burlington much more of a voice. I also disagree with the idea that people are being disenfranchised by this because they may have to wait longer to vote for a senator, because with this redistricting, people in towns like Burlington also will have to wait longer to vote. And Burlington doesn't have, as far as I know, a very large or disproportionate minority population. So the redistricting is affecting people really regardless of their ethnicity or their socioeconomic background. And
all right, Sean.
Hey, Tom, are you going to be in the new 21st, I take it?
I believe so.
Okay. And that was one of the areas of the map that received a lot of attention. Outside of that, the Latino districts in Milwaukee, the district that Tom's going to be in Racine County, and the district in Kenosha County received a lot of attention. And that's because right now and historically, you've had one Senate district for Racine, one Senate district for Kenosha counties. What this map does is instead of having one for one county, another for another county, it created an urban district for the cities of Racine and Kenosha. And then it had to, you know, the areas like Burlington or other rural areas lumped into another district. You know, practically speaking, while it was never spoken in court, you know, this is a political decision for Republicans. It protects one of their members. Van Wongard makes his district extremely Republican, makes the urban district extremely Democratic in the process. But the reason it was an issue in court is that By this one decision, you end up making 72,000 people wait an extra couple years for an election. That moving into that 21st district, moving into that odd number district, just by this one decision, doesn't affect anywhere else on the map, and you have these 72,000 people who have to wait an extra couple years. I mean, the court will have to, the court's going to have to weigh what's an acceptable number there. And you know, if that is a decision that, or if they have an issue with that idea of disenfranchisement, you could presume that they'll probably look to that area of the state.
Thank you very much, Tom. Amanda in Oshkosh has a question I'll just pose to you quickly as we have just a minute, Sean. She wonders, the Republicans already have the majority in the state legislature. Why did they move the lines of the districts?
Especially in the state assembly, it makes it more likely that they're going to stay in the majority for the rest of this decade. That you'll always have potentially a backstop for Republicans. You know, even in the state Senate, it helps them out. The state Senate's always going to be competitive a little bit more so just because of the size of the districts, the way things are laid out. But, it's an electoral edge for them.
Well, Sean, thanks for covering that lawsuit for us. And we'll stay tuned for details on that. And we'll talk to you next week about whatever happens this week on the State Capitol Report.
All right. Thanks, Jay.
Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio State Government Reporter.